Dave Pesquese, you have such an amazing career going as an actor in film, television, the legitimate stage, commercials, and as an improviser, as one of the gods, really, of improvisation, both here in Chicago and now getting to be New York and hopefully the world. Now, you're going into the highly lucrative world of theater producing and book writing. Are you insane?
Actually, it is. These are all tendrils of the same ill-advised efforts to make money. That's why I'm an actor in the first place. Yep. I figure this is where the money is. And, and then of those, the real money's in improvisation.
So there's method to your madness.
Absolutely.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 431, TJ and Dave. You may not have heard of TJ Jagodowski and Dave Pesquese, but together, as TJ and Dave, they are the gods of improvisation. In America, you've seen TJ as the guy in the passenger seat in those Sonic Burger commercials, and you've probably heard Dave as the voice of McDonald's for, God, probably decades now. But you've probably also seen Dave in Groundhog Day and Angels and Demons, as well as playing Julia Louis-Dreyfus's ex-husband on Veep. And now, TJ and Dave have written a book called Improvisation at the Speed of Life, and I finally get to talk to Dave Pesquese about the book and what it is and isn't.
It's about our beliefs about improvisation. So it's not really an instructional manual or anything. It's just kind of how we look at it and how it influences the way we improvise. And the two of us had independently tried to scribble stuff down. We didn't even tell each other that we were just trying to scribble stuff down, because you see other people with books and like, well, they wrote a book. I should maybe try. Right. And couldn't do it. And then this woman, Pam Victor, interviewed us both. And after she did that, she came up to us and said, would you guys ever be interested in writing a book? And we kind of like, it seemed like, well, yeah, I guess we kind of would be if it's as easy as just these interviews. And we were, again, ill-informed.
So the books don't write themselves.
Evidently not. Ours didn't, right. Yeah. And then we wrote with Pam, and then it went to into editing, and that my wife, Joan Marie Pesquese, did a lot of the editing.
So it's less of a how-to and more of a philosophy. Is it a philosophy of improv or life or all of the above?
It is specifically improvisation. Okay. There are those who hold that the tenets of improvisation make one a better human being. We do not enter that discussion. We just simply talk about improvisation as improvisation for the stage.
Improvisation at the speed of life. Well, I got the chance finally to come down and see you and TJ improvise, and it was, as I'm sure all your shows are, amazing, because first of all, you had an audience that was packed, and they understand that, they know it's funny from the get-go, but you just were in this diner. It was just in this diner, and you did all the characters in this diner, and I know exactly who they are and how old they are, and you even stepped in and played the other guy's roles if the story required that. Do you remember that night, and was it typical?
I don't remember. You know,
For
the first couple of years, I did. We'd done 100 shows. I remembered every single one exactly. It's a little harder now, but with a few more clues, it's starting to uncloud as you're talking. But yeah, that's pretty typical. And what we do is we just start and just follow where it goes. And like you said, if the story requires it, or if the show seems to require it, we'll play whoever needs to be played.
And why don't you take suggestions? Have you had every suggestion in the world?
Well, I think one of the reasons you take a suggestion is to prove to the people that you are making it up, that it's not prepared. But we instead just ask them to trust that.
Yeah,
this is made up.
Yeah, and we do. The kind of improvisation that the Reduced Shakespeare Company does is more of the Who's Line kind, game oriented, punchline driven. That is not, I'm assuming that is not what you do.
That's correct. That's a different, there's tons of different kinds of improvisation that falls under the larger classification of short form, and that is, you're delivering comedy. The purpose of that is comedy. We're not doing that.
No.
We're not promising that it's going to be funny. We're not promising that it's going to be interesting. We're promising it's going to be made up.
Yeah.
We're promising we're going to improvise. That's the extent of it. So we're doing a different thing because they're expecting a different thing, right?
Yeah.
Someone's coming into theater sports. They're here. They're there for, you know, it's a different atmosphere. It's a different product,
right?
And this is just, we just started doing it and the folks came.
Yeah.
And we're real lucky. They're real supportive. Like you said, they're game from the beginning. Even the folks that haven't been here before, sometimes we walk out and we notice, oh, this is a room filled with people who've never seen us before.
Yeah.
Even though it's here, the majority of these people have never seen it before. So you feel this during the show, you feel them start to, because they're used to laughing more.
Right.
And they're used to laughing more because they're used to seeing funnier stuff. And after a while, you feel them kind of give over to it, and they're just like, oh, I guess this is going well.
Yeah.
They don't seem to be too bothered by the no laughs, so I guess this is what we're going to get. Okay.
And
then really, I think what happens is they look a little harder to find what's funny.
Well, right. but that's kind of a good thing too, because comedy is, we're all in the room together. It's not just incumbent on the performers. The audience has to bring something to it too. And there are those nights where the audience has to bring more.
Absolutely. And and I absolutely agree with you. And because of our audiences, because of their patience, we're able to do different things.
Yeah.
Because they're with us. We're real lucky. The folks are pretty great, both here and in New York. New York is, they're really up for it.
So you guys are performing in this beautiful space, which is the Mission Theater, which is part of the new I.O., the former Improv Olympic. I always feel like I got to say the former Improv Olympic.
I think because you got to give a little bit of a f*** to the Improv the Olympic Committee.
Yeah. So the brand new I.O. building, which is phenomenal. And you guys got your own venue. You're paying rent on it, but still, you know, how is it going? I know how you guys do. You guys sell out all the time. But you're also producing sketch in here and teaching classes, or what?
We don't teach class. We do have shows almost every night of the week, and that's the goal, is to have shows every night of the week. The main show that we have in here is a sketch review called Trap Now. That's the title of it. But we're working on our second review, which will be open April 14th.
Oh, the day before your book comes out.
The day before taxes. That's the way we like to refer to it.
And you wear the Ides of April of 2015.
Okay.
And for those who are listening back on this, it's already opened.
You missed it. Thanks for tuning in late.
We're already on our 80th review. but it's a great cast we have here. We really like this show. It's a little different than a lot of sketch review, and we're real proud of it. We do that. We have a show in here. Also shows come in and rotate. We have burlesque late night on Fridays, the first Friday of every month.
Cool.
Pretty great. Tuesday nights is an interesting night. Raw Nerve with Rebecca Krasny, and oftentimes Jamie Swice plays beautiful guitar and tells wonderful stories about the 60s in Chicago. It's in the folk scene. He's wonderful. We have an improv group that does a long-form improvisation, a two-act thing, before our show on Wednesdays, and that group is called Tone, and those are some of the best improvisers around. Oh. We're real lucky with the folks that are working under this roof. It's pretty great.
Hi, I'm Shannon Cochran, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Our 82-city UK and Ireland tour of the complete history of comedy abridged continues this week with performances in Cardiff, Hemel Hempstead, Lincoln, Peterborough, and Harlow, then continues around the country to Christchurch, Andover, Colchester, Hartford, Hereford, High Wycombe, Swindon, Cardigan, Brecon, Llanelli, Camberley, Grantham, Harrogate, Solihull, Ludlow, Exeter, Galway, Newton Abbey, Downpatrick, Derry, Londonderry, West Dickerton, and Norfolk, Wakefield, Barnstaple, Blackwood, Chipping Norton, Pershore, Hounslow, Basingstoke, Guildford, Tenterden, Banbury, Derby, Bolton, Wolverhampton, Worcester, Dumfries, John Rar, Oxford, and Wellingborough. And also this spring in the U.S. we'll be playing East Lansing and Traverse City, Michigan, Manchester, New Hampshire, Princeton, New Jersey, and Frederick, Maryland. Plus more U.S. dates this summer and fall, which will be added to our website as soon as we nail them down. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with the great Dave Pesquese.
So you said you don't promise that it's funny. You don't even promise that it's interesting. I can see maybe some nights where it's not funny. Has it ever been not interesting?
Because
I refuse to believe that the answer is yes, it's sometimes.
No, for sure, some nights it's not been funny. Some nights it's really, and we find that we're pleased with what happened, but it was not a funny show. It was really creepy or something.
Yeah.
Or just difficult.
Yeah.
But I do think that, I guess some nights are more interesting than others.
But it's always interesting to you. There's always something of value that you guys have found.
Absolutely. And most of the time, it's little things. Mm. I mean, it's not, it's little things. You hear it throughout the evening. You hear like one person identifies with one person out of 140, one person, I'm like, fine, that's great.
Yeah, that was for you, sir. Thanks a lot. Thanks, one guy.
Or no one, just us. Just we notice. Something will happen. Like there's this one instance that I refer to as, I went to reach for a handkerchief in my pocket, and I have a real handkerchief. I didn't use the real handkerchief. I used a mime handkerchief.
Mm-hmm.
And later on in the show, there's a need for a handkerchief. I didn't know why I reached for the handkerchief.
Uh-huh.
And later on in the show, there's a need for a handkerchief. So I've already established that I have a handkerchief. I was just tickled to death by that. Had nothing to do with me. No one else noticed it.
Yeah.
But those are the kinds of things that I just like, oh, wow, that's...
Well, and you and TJ have been working together for so long. You guys...
You can edit that hanky part out.
No, but you talk about establishing, you establish things, and you say there was a need for it later in the story. Well, there was a need for it because one of you remembered that you had established there was a handkerchief, and hey, I can use that handkerchief again. The way you and TJ listen to each other and call back things that you've established is such phenomenal storytelling.
I think it's a little different than, like, because we didn't really establish it.
Oh.
We just noticed it, right?
Yes.
This just happened, right?
Yeah, okay.
It's not like we laid down the breadcrumbs and then followed them later. We just, like, we noticed that there were breadcrumbs there. A friend of mine asked me, how was the show last night? Oh, it was pretty fun. It got weird. One guy killed himself. And he goes, you know that's you, right? One guy. But it is, it's like we're participating and observing it. So it's there's both happening.
You're the conduit.
Kind of something like that. I think that's, when it's going real well, it's kind of like that. You're just kind of a passenger as well.
And are the performances you do, TJ and Dave do, are they an end of themselves? Do you ever go, God, that was really interesting. Should we explore that further in something other?
Great question.
Thank you.
We have thought about it a lot. We have not had any success we've had some transcribed because it's like, boy, I wonder if these are plays, because people have mentioned that they seem like little plays, and so we have them transcribed. And what's there is kind of fun, but they're all 50 minutes long.
Yeah.
That's not a play. And it's kind of too long for one act, and it's, it just doesn't quite fit anything. But there are some, we do have interest in going, I think some of them are great bones and beyond bones. Some of them are fleshed out, really interesting stories, but we have never gone in and turned them into something that would be other than what they already are.
Well, and also you see it live and improvise and you go, that's amazing, and then you write it down and you go, wait, is that amazing anymore?
Yeah, there's always that.
Yeah.
The intrigue exists in the room.
Yeah.
And so people kind of are leaning forward on their chairs, not because it's a great story, but because, hey, those f***ing guys have no idea what's going on. Wonder what's going to happen. And we're all in that same seat. I wonder what's going to happen. We, I think, are a little bit more comfortable with, we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, you certainly are comfortable, and you're right. There is so much tension. I mean, like a great horror movie, like a great comedy, there is a tension of, what are they going to do next? And you guys are brave enough to let that tension hang.
Well, and also, so that goes away when you write it down and try to do it a second time.
Right.
So it has to be a much better story.
Yes.
Because it's a different event.
Yeah.
It's not an improvised show. It's a play now, and does this stand on its own? And for sure, when we read it, there's pretty interesting dialogue. But I don't know that it's enough the bones of it is enough to really sustain a play.
TJ and Dave have been performing in New York, and I think I heard from Stephanie Weir that you guys are talking about improvising on the sets of Broadway shows. Is that a thing that's happening? Can we talk about it?
We can absolutely talk about it. It is not yet happening. We have been rehearsing it when we're available. The group that we're doing it with, Scott Morphy's one of the guys who's helping put it together. Scott Morphy's the producer at the Barrow Street where TJ and I perform in New York. Stephen Ruddy is the one who's putting this thing together, the guy from Gravid Water.
Okay.
And he's put together this group of Scott Adsit, Lutz, Dassey, Weir, me, and TJ.
That's an all-star group.
So it's the six of us, and there are three pairs within that. Those are like Adsit and Lutz always perform together. Weird Ass performs, and TJ and Dave. So it's those three, and they're all great.
Oh,
and it's really fun to play with them.
And the idea is you'd go into a Broadway house on the Monday night, on the dark night, and improvise on the set.
Right, and the set itself would be our suggestion. And it would be a two-act thing, and it would be more intentionally much more of a play.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, what a great, a whole different other challenge, level of challenge.
Oh, it's all brand new. You think you have, we got a line on this. No idea.
No.
With six people, with two folks, that's like part of the perception is there's only two of you and you play all those people. Yeah, the nice thing is there's only two of us.
Right.
Right. The good news is there's only two. The bad news is there's only two.
Right.
Yeah.
So I guess what's the biggest, if you had to reduce your philosophy of improv, either in the book or just in life, could you? What is improv's value to you? Do we need another 20 minutes?
Yeah, what is its value to me? Well, as a performer, everything.
Yeah.
Anything that I've learned or had the opportunity to do is only because of improvisation. Best folks I know, all that kind of stuff, only through improvisation. Can easily be traced directly to improvisation. And I think any modicum of achievement is also directly related to things I learned in improvisation. And other things, too. I remember somebody just asked this question, how does it affect the legitimate theater? I've been told by directors, I got the job because they watched me listen.
Yeah.
And that's directly related to that's all you do in improvisation.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine, a great actor here in town, came and saw. He'd never seen much improvisation. Career, an older guy, longtime actor, teacher of acting, mm-hmm. great, well-respected actor, came and saw a show. He's like, "Well, improvisation's great for any actor."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Listening, talking, and listening.
Yeah, yeah, listening.
Well, but like a handful of improvisers I can think of, you can also remember lines. That part of your brain works too.
Well, yeah, that's fun. That's a whole, that's just a different thing. But boy, yeah. I enjoy that challenge as well. Yeah. Trying to say, like doing Mamet, trying to say, exactly those things. No one's ever done that.
Yeah.
No cast has ever done that show correctly, perfectly,
yeah,
the way it was written. Pretty close. We get pretty close, and closer you get, more fun it is, but That's a lovely challenge.
Right. You can't nail it. It's always on the horizon. It's always going to be something until closing night. You're trying to get, which
I didn't understand for a while. I always thought like, oh, we rehearse it. And now it's opening night. Now we got to do this for another 2 months.
Yeah. So in that sense, in terms of what TJ and Dave do, you guys do, every night is opening night. Every night is closing night.
That's the real joy of it. It's like it's impossible to get bored.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Comedy Podcast, which, as you know, I always try to keep around 20 minutes long. TJ and Dave's book, Improvisation at the Speed of Life, will be published on April 15, 2015. But if you're listening to this before then, pre-order it now. If you're in the U.S., check out TJ and Dave at the Mission Theater in Chicago or the Barrow Street Theater in New York City. Or no matter where you are, stream the documentary about them called Trust Us, This Is All Made Up on Amazon. Then send us your philosophy of life via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you could post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com. And of course, we'd always like to see you at one of our performances. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, area man Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Andrew Cullen. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Shannon Cochran, and thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener for 131/1293 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
I also like that it's only 20 minutes. Who has an hour to listen to some Jagoff's yammer?
Exactly, Rozowski. Exactly.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.